Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, my name is Ann McMillan. I am the Master Wealth Builder, helping to build stronger and better lives and businesses. And I want to welcome you to another episode of Hashtag I Am Riviera Beach. Being born and raised in Riviera Beach, along with many other phenomenal, phenomenal individuals, I am very excited to bring to you another episode of this show. I had an idea, and that idea was to create a podcast interviewing individuals who were born and raised in my hometown, city of Riviera Beach, Florida, and had a conversation with Dan Calloway and Steve White and talked about the possibility of us increasing the positive image of the diamond in the rough, like Russell Cornwell in his famous book entitled Acres of Diamonds says that we leave our diamond mine in our own backyard to travel all around the world only to find in time that we left the largest diamond find in our own backyard. And so this podcast is an example of how many of us were born and raised in Riviera Beach have traveled the world only to find we left our diamond mine in our own backyard in the city of Riviera Beach. So we're coming back to find many others, just like ourselves, who are from Riviera Beach and who are diamonds in the rough. And our diamond in the rough today is none other than Mr. Conrad Jones. And Mr. Jones and I had a few minutes to talk and chat a little bit before the show started and found we had lots of things in common in addition to being from Riviera Beach. So with that, I'm going to introduce Mr. Conrad Jones, and I'll have joining us none other than Mr. Dan Calloway, and we'll go ahead and get this conversation started. Good afternoon, Mr. Jones. How are you today? If you can tell us a little bit about who you are, where you're from, and then we'll have Mr. Calloway come on. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. McNeil. It's my pleasure to be here. Thank you for inviting me, Mr. Calloway and Ms. McNeil. I'm so ecstatic to be here just to talk about this beautiful community that we all live in. My name is Conrad Jones, Jr., born and raised here in Riviera Beach off of what they call now the Fire House on First Street with my grandmother. Did all my education here, Northborough Elementary, Roosevelt Elementary, John F. Kennedy Middle School, Suncoast High School, and graduated there. And, you know, I didn't think I was ready for school yet, so I did 2 years at a community college over in Bradenton, Florida, which got me prepared. And I got a full scholarship to Florida A&M University as a math science engineer scholar with a major in concentration in mathematics. Left Florida A&M, took a job in Atlanta, Georgia Tech for a couple years, then decided to move back here. And it was when I was visiting here one summer. I was here with my parents, and I just kept hearing all of this negativity about Riviera Beach after you know, after going away bragging about how beautiful my city was, and when I came back, I heard a little bit of the negativity about the young people. And, you know, my motto is, you know, you're going to have to confront young people, whether it's now when they're young or whether it's when they're older. So I chose to confront them now when they're younger. So I moved back and got active with my local fraternity and started reestablish our youth group. And through that youth group, I've been helping change many lives here. Then I got employed with Boys and Girls Club because they saw the good that was going in the community. Stayed with them for about 10 years. And now I'm currently working with the Palm Beach County School District at John F. Kennedy Middle School just to pay it forward because I learned so much at John F. Kennedy. Now I'm a seventh grade science teacher at John F. Kennedy, and I think, you know, that's where I belong. And now here I am with you guys.
That's beautiful. If I say Lil Connie, everybody will know in a minute. But Steve White is, I don't know, is he online or not? but he's trying
yes,
to get.
I'm here. Can you all hear me?
Yes.
We can
okay.
hear you now.
Okay.
Yes,
okay.
Sir.
Good.
Steve,
okay,
the only reason why I didn't cut in when you called me because Ann gave me the number and I called myself in. But
good. Good. I'm glad you all got in. I'll explain why I was late later. But go ahead.
Okay. Connie, what I need you to do. I need you to answer two questions. Let the listening audience know that.
Yes,
why are you involved in the young people that you've been bringing at all occasions, like Christmas and Thanksgiving? You've had those young men out there help serving and doing whatever we needed to be done numerous of times. And the other thing is being reared up in Mount Olive. And I know you have that in your grandparents. Your mother, grandmother was there every Sunday with your mother and her siblings. I've known your family all their life. And then, of course, Conrad Sr. is probably in the top five best athletes I've ever coached. Everybody knows that. He was the first black to be the player of the year in Palm Beach County. I need you to answer those two questions about your involvement and why other young men like you need to do the same thing, number one. And then why did you go to Kennedy when you could have gone to any other school, which we need all the strong help in young black teachers, especially male, at Kennedy?
All right. First question, why I believe I believe every young person learns how to be a man by the example that they see the most. And that's why I started mentoring young black men, because I had such great examples. I mean, I have my biological dad, Conrad Jones Sr. You know, he set a great example. My mom married him. My stepdad, Mark Mitchell, was a great example also. So I had great examples of young men to emulate and to, you know, to strive to be. And it wasn't until I got to college that I realized a lot of my classmates, you know, didn't have fathers. And I'm sitting here like, oh, I got two. And so when I came back here, I realized, like, you know, let me be the example. You know, let me be an example. And let me try to take somebody under my wing to try to, you know, I'm not perfect, but this is what I've learned. So this is what I think you should learn to be a man. I also tell the young people that, you know, my generation, we kind of lost, you know, we kind of dropped the ball when it came to teaching other young people how to be men and or just, you know, spending, you know, empowering young people, you know, putting time and investing in our young people. So that's what I've been doing. And I believe, you know, our next generation, you know, I tell every kid when we start mentoring, you guys are going to represent me as the next generation of black man. So let me teach you what it takes to be a black man, or show you how to be a black man and be a positive influence in your community and just be great citizens. That's my goal, is to have a bunch of young men to be great citizens in this beautiful city we call Riviera Beach. I believe, you know, people don't appreciate it as much as they should. And I want our people to understand, you know, when it comes to wealth building, to leaving a legacy. And that's what we, in our fraternity, in our program, we talk to our kids about leaving and starting legacies. And then second question about me being at John F. Kennedy. Like I say, John F. Kennedy taught me so much in middle school. You know, it taught me to be proud of who I was as a young black intelligent person. You know, I wasn't afraid to tell people I was smart. I wasn't afraid to do anything. And it was John F. Kennedy that kind of set that groundwork for me. And I wanted to come back and give back, especially to my community. You know, it just so happened to be a Title I school. But, you know, I believe that is a label. It doesn't label, you know, our community. And so I came back to just be an example. And especially one of the they didn't have an opening in math, so I took a science position. But I do believe that, you know, science – technology skills, our young black men are scared of those. And so what I do is I try to make it fun and more hands-on, and I also tutor math, even though I'm a science teacher. So I just try to really help reinforce that education is the key to our success, and that's why I do what I do.
That's beautiful. Stevie, you want to ask him?
Yes, sir. I'm here. Yes, well, Mr. Conrad Jones Jr. So Conrad and I, we have some history now working with him and his mentoring program. So I think, Conrad, you know, one of the things that I always talk about, though, is, you know, how do we, even though we work with our young people and work directly with them, you know, as an educator, what do you see as their greatest challenges from an educational point of view, and how do you approach that in the classroom as a science teacher? So I guess their greatest challenge, you know, academically, and how do you approach that in your classroom?
Well, academically, you know, before COVID, the school was a whole different environment. But now, you know, well, back then, I would definitely just be truthful to the kids. I always infuse a little bit of cultural history when I teach lessons, especially in my community, let kids understand, you know, some of these things we invented. We invented math. We invented science. Why are we scared of it? So it kind of helped motivate them. I also I help tutor them. I try my best to get to know the parents as well, because I also tell the parents it takes a village to raise a child. Mm-hmm. And, you know, let me be part of that village, so that, you know, together we can push this young person to their best potential. But you know, communication is very well very needed with our young people, and I just think instead of you know, tearing them down, my job is to I'm everybody's biggest cheerleader. My job is to build you up. And before I have anything negative to say to a young person, I usually just I usually take a couple breaths, and then I change the subject, because I never want to berate a kid, because I know how it is to for somebody you believe in or you respect to say something negative to you. So you know, I just try to encourage them as much as possible. I offer up, you know, my services. Now that we learn how to do Zoom and Google Meets, I tutor a lot from home privately, just online. So I give them all the extra. I reach out as much as I can. But, you know, we need the parents to help reach us back, because, you know, these kids have a lot of distractions nowadays, way more than I ever had when I was in middle school. So, you know, we just, you know, I talk with them. I get to know them, and I try to, you know, be their friend. Try to be their friend as well as their teacher.
Okay, now that's if I can just follow up on one thing real quickly. So you said you try to be their friend, because a lot of people, adults, say that they don't want to be a child's friend. You know, you hear a lot of parents say, "I'm not your friend. You know, I'm your mother. I'm your father." I've always been an advocate for being a child's friend, because I think that I always tell people that. Who does a person confide in? They confide in their friend. So you can be a person's friend, a child's friend, and still not violate, you know, that relationship as teacher, student, or mother, right, father, or a child, you know, and still be their friend. So what made you realize that was important to have that kind of relationship as well, and not just teacher-student relationship?
It took a while, because, you know, when I first started mentoring, I thought about, hey, let's be strict, let's do this. But then when, you know, sometimes, you know, like you said, Mr. White, you know, they would tell their friends stuff that they want to tell, you know, their parents. And a lot of times I became that between the kid and the parent. And I didn't mind being in that position, because I know, truthfully, the kid understood that it was never to hurt them. It was always to help them, and I always let them know, like, you can tell me anything you need to tell me, but if it's a matter of life, death, or, you know, anything that's illegal, I'm going to have to tell your parents. And they understand that. So, you know, we build relationships with them, and I build them with the parents so that they know. And the trust is always there. And like I always say, I try to be a man of my word every time. And I know what it's like to be let down as a young person, so I try not to ever overcommit or overpromise things. I just try to really be myself and try to be a man of my word.
Well,
okay, go ahead, Ms. Collin.
I think that's just beautiful. I need to interject this here. I need to ask you a question. Since we adopted John F. Kennedy Middle School. And all three of us, the PS leader of this group, Ann McNeil, she was the first one to invest her money into a tutorial program that our headmaster, Mr. Steve White, and two others are doing right now with the English, the math, and the Black History and Current Event, which is going on smoothly. Now, is that a worthwhile investment in your eyesight that we are doing this for 802 students in an adopted school? We've been doing this for the last 5 years. The tutorial program just started. This is our first year because I was embarrassed that it was so many kids needed to have that help, and the Youth Recreation took that responsibility on. In your opinion, knowing me, and I need to tell everybody, I am his godfather and his brother all his life, and I don't want, and I'm so proud of that, having one of my godchildren to come on the program, for me to be out here with the same and acting together because of our ability to relate to each other one way or the other. So you answer that for me, little Connie.
I think anything that we offer the young people at John F. Kennedy Middle School is needed. I see the need. I pushed the tutoring especially when I found out you were over at Mr. White and Mr. Calloway. I pushed it. I actually pushed it even in my youth group. Some of my kids don't go to Kennedy, and I was trying to figure out how they could get tutored also. I push anything that's positive. I tutor sometimes after school. It's just they need it. The kids want to belong to something. They appreciate the attention. I see it all the time there. So it is needed, you know, and any other else thing that we could do to kind of keep them involved in the community and be a part of the community, I think, you know, we definitely welcome it at Kennedy.
Beautiful. Beautiful. I hope you don't leave Kennedy because I think we need black teachers, number one, at Kennedy,
mm-hmm.
and male black teachers most of all, because that's why we adopted that school, because I would think that 75 to 80% of the students there, they don't have two parents in the household. We talked about this on the show before, being reared up in a house with two parents. I'm 83, August 18th coming up, and my dad and mother for my first 61 years of my life, I always had my father and my mother in the house. And after my father died, you know, I became like the father of the house with my siblings.
Sure.
Go ahead, Steve.
No, so. Like I said, Conrad and I, we've been working together with his mentoring program for a long time, so I know his commitment to our children. But to come back, Conrad, to two other questions that I have for you, because one of the things that, you know, we talked about when we were putting this program together is that we want listeners, when they listen to this program, that when they leave here with an understanding of what they can do to address whatever the problem or the issue is. So since we're focusing on education, we want them to leave here after listening to you with some idea of what it is that they can do. So I wanted you, if you would address one, what would you say are the, and I touched on this a little bit just a minute ago, but when that child is in your classroom, the areas that they need to work on specifically, and to give you an example of what I'm trying to get to, I say that reading and reading comprehension is critical for our children to be successful in school, no matter what the subject is. So what subject areas or what aspects of their discipline in the classroom would you say they need to work on? And then what would you say that parents need to be doing from their point of view to help their children become better students? You know, what practical things can parents do, and what practical things can the students do to improve?
Mr. White, I agree with you about the reading. I talk when we have our science meetings, our committee meetings every Wednesday. Our biggest complaint is that you know, we can teach the kids everything about our subject, but if they can't understand the test question, they don't know how to apply what they know. And so reading, I think, is the most important part in our young people right now, because they can read something. If they don't understand the definition of words, like in my class, I teach science, and everybody knows science sometimes comes with those big words. So while we read, and every Monday we commit ourselves to reading. And at Kennedy we have this thing, this school-wide program called Marking the Text, where we teach the young people how to read something, how to mark the text. And when you mark the text, you actually reread the same passage about three times, because each time you go through, you're doing a different marking. And so so reading, I think, is the most important part, no matter what subject, because even in math, you know, they have those word problems. And, like, again, if the kids don't understand what you're asking them to do, they don't know what to do. So the thing that we can help our young people with the most is reading. And it's just as simple as I tell every young people that take a class with me, like, I didn't read much when I was in elementary school, but I was in a program where this young guy came every week and just gave us comic books. And I got into reading by comic books. And I tell him, you know, no matter what it is, as long as you're reading, read. Because it opens up your imagination. It opens up your vocabulary. And so I believe reading is well needed in our school and in our community. We need to enforce a lot of reading, whether it's the newspaper. Like, even in my mentoring group, we have a session where the young people just talk about, you know, current events. They look through a newspaper, and we pick out a current event, and we discuss it. And what could parents do to help parents get on? Well, this is just me preaching as a teacher. I believe parents should limit screen time, whether it's phone, computer, all that, because I think that is one of the biggest distractions that we have, you know, as teachers, and that young people have is the screens. We're competing with the screens. And with us now with COVID, with us teaching, because we even though I do teach, even though I am on campus, I still teach online. I still teach to the young people that's online. And, you know, us being away from them, we don't know what they have on their screen in front of them. Like, they can be looking at us. So we just need, you know, support parents. Please limit screen time. Monitor screen time. And, if, you know, and if please keep in touch with the teachers. You know, keep in touch with the teachers, whether it's a simple email. You know, a lot of times phone calling can be a little invasive. And I know that, but a quick email, like Mr. Jones, I get them all the time. Mr. Jones, this is so-and-so's parents. How many days were they absent, and what's the current grade? And I can look that up and get that to them in 2 minutes, you know? So, you know, just keep in touch with us teachers. And, you know, and that's it. Limit school, limit the screen time, and keep in touch with the teachers regularly through a simple email or text, because I even give my parents my phone number. Just text me if you have a problem.
That's beautiful, man. I appreciate that. I know Ms. McNeil may have a question for you. She's been pretty quiet. So, Ann, are you there?
No. Yes, I'm here. I was sharing earlier when the program started that Mr. Jones and I had a chance to talk before the show started and found that we had lots of things in common. In particular, his fraternity, which is he's a Sigma, and so is my husband. And so his father also attended my alma mater, Florida Memorial University in Miami. And so he mentioned to me that my name came up. You can go ahead and share, Mr. Jones, and we'll pick that conversation up. You never did tell me who brought my name up in your meeting this week, but and Mr. Calloway and Steve, I did miss that other meeting. Of course, I saw the text late, so we'll come back and talk about that. But,
okay.
Mrs. Jones, if you want to go ahead and share about the meeting you were hosting this week, because I think that all of this fits in terms of the conversation we're having and the vision of the show, which is to enhance the self-confidence and the self-image of the residents, especially the children within Riviera Beach, which will eventually uplift, if you will, the vision of what we all know is possible based upon what we have experienced in the past, present, and even the future. And your story and many of the stories that we've heard already is just an indication of what Russell Conrad says in his book. You know, we've all grown up in Riviera Beach for the most part. We've all traveled, and we've all seen what could be, and then we come back home and we see what is, but what could be, and that's the purpose of this show, that for us to come back and help lift the spirits of those who are still here, like Dan Calloway and so many like him, that lift our spirits and helped us to see a greater vision of ourselves and also the world, and especially our hometown. So if you want to share with the audience what you were sharing with me about a meeting you were having this week.
Yes. Me and all our current mentors and advisors for our youth program called the Sigma Beta Club, which is the youth auxiliary of Phi Beta Sigma fraternity. We were in our mentor meeting, advisors meeting, and we were just contemplating on how much money we lost because of COVID. And I was sharing with Ms. McNeil that right before we every year we take the young people on an annual spring break college tour for the entire week. And last year was the first year that we raised enough money to pay for everything up front. And then COVID came and shut us down, and we didn't get much of our refunds back. We didn't get much of our funds back because it wasn't canceled in the amount of time that allows for refunds. So we lost a lot of money, and a lot of young people were disappointed. But they understood, and so we revamped and we started meeting online. And just so at our meeting last week, we were speaking, and one of the brothers said, have you ever heard of Mr. and Miss McNeil, Miss Annie McNeil? You know, we need to try to see if we can get them, you know, to support our cause and, you know, just to let them know what we're doing and see what if they can, you know, point us in funding directions. And I just said out of the blue, like, I think that's who I'm meeting with on Sunday. I think that's who I'm meeting with. They was like, for real? And then one of the brothers was like, you know, I never thought to reach out to her because he's her godson, Miss Ann McNeil. Anthony Porter.
Yes, he is. I was about to say Anthony Porter's my age. I'll take him. We graduated together from Florida Memorial.
I think that's his dad.
Oh, his dad. Yeah. He's talking about the son. Oh my gosh.
That's even better.
Oh my gosh. That's even better.
Right.
But you know what? And this is the conversation we had, and Dan, before the show started. He and I were talking about this before the show started. And I said to him, I said, well, then you would then know Ray Smith. And he said, yes, Ray Smith plants my father. And I said, well, if you know Ray Smith, then you might know my husband, Daniel McNeil. I said that when I'm talking about him, I call him a boyfriend. But when I'm talking to him, I call him Babe. Now, I say that because we met at Florida Memorial. And Riviera Beach, many of us ended up going to Florida Memorial for a lot of different reasons. And so now here we are 20, 30, 40, almost 50 years later coming back home to give back. And so I just want to just encourage all of our listeners because this show is evergreen. And people will be listening to this show years and years and years in the future on different kinds of platforms. And it doesn't matter where you're from in the world, go back home and give back. And we want to be an example of what's possible and being able and being blessed to be a blessing. One of my favorite scriptures in the Bible is Genesis 12:2, where God says that I will bless you to be a blessing. And so God has blessed every single one of us on this line, not for our own edification, but only to be a blessing to others. And I tell people all the time, glad that I've had problems and struggles and challenges. Because if I've never gone through anything, I cannot help others understand mm-hmm. how to. And so that is what this is about. And I know we're past our wrap-up time, but this has been a phenomenal program. And I'm going to encourage you, Mr. Jones, to just continue to stay a part of what God is calling you to do. And I want to thank you, Dan and Steve, for what God is calling all of us to do with this platform. Because, again, as we continue to bring people on and as we hear over and over and over again, a lot of people are doing things in the city, but nobody know about it.
That is right.
Nobody know about it. And so this platform is going to allow us to continue to share with people what's possible, and then we're just going to continue to connect because, as we've heard, Pal is getting ready to do something, Steve is doing something, Dan is doing something, you're doing something, everybody we have on the show is doing something. So now how do we all come together in time and really begin to organize underneath an umbrella where we can really repurpose a lot of the energy and maximize a lot of the resources to help support the city and those who are born and also those who are yet unborn in the city? Because what we're talking about building is going to outlive every single one of us. So I'm just excited to be a part of this. And however God blesses me, I'm more than willing to continue to pass those blessings on to others. So,
okay.
Dan, I'm going to go ahead and start wrapping up, and then we'll
okay.
go to Steve, and then we'll go to Conrad. Thank you.
Connie, make sure you tell Mark, your father, to give me a call, and you give me a call, because this weekend coming up, because of Martin Luther King, we will feed 50 families. And no husband, no man in the house. It's three kids and a mother, or sometimes three kids and a grandmother, but it's averaging four. So we will be feeding like 200 people. We're going to buy each one of those 50 families $100 worth of grocery. We're going to deliver it. Now, why I need you to get with me, because I may need some of the boys and you to help deliver it. You got it?
Okay.
Okay, then. I'm finished.
Okay. Well, yeah, I'm like I said, Conrad and I guess I'm like an honorary Phi Beta Sigma, because with the Sigma Beta Club, I've been working with them. Conrad reminded me it's been about, 14 years, I think you told me, Conrad, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so that we've been working together. So I appreciate you coming on the show and sharing those tips and giving that advice. Because, again, like I've said before, the whole thing about this program is really to put out information that will make a positive difference in someone's life. So just sharing with students things that they need to do, sharing with parents things that they could be doing. And I like that about, you know, limiting their screen time and just, you know, just saying, you know, here's some things that you can do to really make a difference and to be successful. And then you being the example that you are. So, you know, I have nothing but respect for you, brother. You know that. So appreciate you coming on.
Thank you. Well, I just like to say thank you to everybody. Everybody on the phone, I'm blessed to meet Ms. McNeil. I hope this is just the beginning of a great friendship. And to my Godfather, Mr. Calloway, thank you for everything you have instilled into me, my family. Even with my mom, parents, you know, you were there. You were that solid rock for me and my brother and my father. So just thank you, Mr. Calloway, for being that person. Not just that to me, but to the whole community, because I can name a lot of people, you know, especially when the young men met you at the Thanksgiving dinner. A lot of them was like, I played football for your program.
Yeah.
And they were just so happy they see you because they've never met. They always thought things were named after people once they passed on. And they were just so shocked to see that we in the Dan Calloway Center, here's Dan Calloway. They were so shocked. So, Mr. Calloway, thank you for being who you are. And Mr. White, I don't know what I would do without you. If it wasn't for you, there would be the Sigma Beta program. There would be probably no me right now, because it was your inspiration that really made me step out there and approach the community with what I had to offer, because I saw you approach the community with what you had to offer. And it just made me confident. So just thank you all, and thank you for the opportunity to just get on and speak with you guys. Thank you.
Thank you. Beautiful.
Thank you.
And I'll say this here. Ann McNeil is a good person to know. Remember that, godson?
Yeah. All right, Ms. McNeil.
To God be the glory for all of it. And I would like to ask, I'm not sure, Mr. Jones, are you a recipient, your organization a recipient of United Way?
I have to look that up, but we, you know, we do have our nonprofit status. We have everything set up.
Yeah, I think Steve and Dan, we need to talk about this every Friday before we wrap up, and I know John is listening in. We need to make sure that we continue to add to the GoFundMe every show, John. We want to go backwards on every show we've posted and make sure we add the GoFundMe link. And also privately, we need to talk about being certified with United Way as one of the recipients of the funds that they receive. Because we all know that a lot of people give to United Way, and you can designate your giving when you give. And a percentage of United Way funds go directly to the organizations that are designated as recipients. And so I want to make sure we talk about that every week, because everybody is in support of serving and blessing our kids. A lot of people have public jobs and some private jobs. We're already giving to the United Way. And so we just need to just become better stewards over that which we've already blessed. And so investment education is one of those. And as we invest in ourselves and in our community, we also want to invest in saving and investing. That's another conversation for another day, which we will continue to talk about, because we can feed them. If we don't teach them how to fish, then
that's right. That's right.
Yeah, and so that's what this really is about. And Dan, you've done a phenomenal job in feeding and teaching how to fish. And I think that that's one of the reasons why we all show up really for you, because people get the people, they don't get the causes. And Dr. Barbara Carey Shuler told me that many, 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 gosh, almost 30 years ago, she said, "And always remember, when you're raising money, people don't give the causes. People give the people. They don't give the causes." And so with that thought in mind, we're going to go ahead and wrap up. And we're very excited, Mr. Jones, to have you part of this family and this show. And we'll encourage you to continue to listen in and join in with us as we share every single Sunday, hashtag My Investing Story. So this is on all the social media, so we're posting while we're showing the show. All right, everybody, we'll see you next week. And everybody have a wonderful weekend. What's left of it? Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Stay safe.
Thanks. All right, thank you. Bye-bye.